Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Divine Sovereign Beings podcast. My name is Alexis.
My name is Jace.
And we are very happy to bring you the fifth episode of our beautiful creation here. We opening up the space. We are sending the best intentions to all of you. Thank you so much for following us. If you've been watching all of our episodes so far, and if you are new here, we'd highly recommend you watch the other episodes, but you don't need to because we're just going to keep rolling them out and new content every time. So last episode was kind of a heavier episode. It was definitely our longest episode also.
And it was like almost 3 hours.
We really enjoyed making that, and we had a lot of really, really great feedback, and I'm grateful that we have this platform to have these conversations and bring up these things. And we wanted to switch it up again today, and we're going to, I think, going to work on dreams and talking about some of the crazy dreams that we've been having so far this month of February, because it's been busy.
This is going to be a more laid back episode, so, you know, get your comfy spot on the bed or on your couch or wherever your go-to spot is, and get your warm cup of deliciousness, and it's going to be fun.
And we have some conscious creators to highlight in this episode who have graciously supported us, and in return, we'd like to support them. So we have two actually for this episode, which is pretty great. And would you like to introduce the first?
So our highlighted creator first off is Hopewell Farms CBD. They make full spectrum CBD oil that you can take orally. They make CBD salve. They have CBD pre-rolls, and I'll show you their website. It's hopewellfarmtn.com. These guys are really our friends. They're great people. We are proud to support them on the podcast. And their products really, really work. I think one of the most important things that I've been seeing a lot of people talk about online lately is the importance of full spectrum CBD oil. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Full spectrum CBD oil. So a lot of these guys who sell, you know, the kind of CBD that you might find at like the gas station or the store, the CBD is isolated. It's not full spectrum. So full spectrum means that you're getting all the cannabinoids that come naturally with the plant. And that's really important, because I think when it comes to any plant medicine, you need the full medicinal benefits of the plant. So full spectrum CBD oil is the way to go. These guys make it great. Their process is fantastic. They are a third party tested, so you know that it's what they say it is. And it's honestly the only CBD oil that I've ever used that I feel like actually works. In fact, I'm going to have some right now because I haven't had any today. Although I did have some of the salve. I was having a wonky shoulder this morning, and I put some of the salve on it, and shoulder it felt pain. Better within like the hour. So, and it smells great. That's a good sign too. Like, this stuff smells so good. I mean, if you like the smell of like the hemp plant, then it's going to smell good. So.
Yes, very much. And we are very grateful to be partnering with them. And yes, if you are having any type of nerve or muscle pain, or if you're having any issues with sleeping, it's another good one. And this is, I think that's appropriate because we've been having a lot of interesting sleeps this month. So we wanted to bring that up as well.
We happen to use the where is it? The 1,000 milligram concentration right here. That's what we found works the best for us. But they have some that go up to 2,000. I think 2,000 is their highest. Oh my gosh.
Apollo, pardon us. Apollo's just literally climbed on top of the table. you always topping yourself every episode, Apollo. You didn't see it, but that's the first time he's ever done that.
Walks on the table. He's like smelling our new bromeliad plant.
Here what are he you comes doing? Again.
He's, he gets really interested when we're filming because he's like, who are you guys talking to? What are you doing? Like, you're just staring at nothing and you're talking. Like, what are you doing?
Hey.
Do you want to be on camera?
Come over here.
You can come sit on my lap.
Come over here. Come here, buddy. Good boy. Come on. Good job. And he just didn't want us to forget that we just had Apollo Day, which was our 1 year anniversary with Apollo in our lives when we got him this tiny little emaciated puppy dog, so small, out of a box outside a grocery store. We were like, yeah, we'll rescue you. We'll take you home. We made sure all the other puppies had somewhere to go to. And yeah, we've been watching him grow and expand, and he's now 1 year old for sure. And yeah, it never ends. It's our constant. He honestly should have another chair next to us through the whole podcast. He's just zoning out. All right, buddy. I know.
You go later.
I see you later.
The CBD does wonders for him too. He's normally very high energy and anxious. Yeah. And when we give him the CBD, it really helps him calm down and relax and... He's so funny.
Okay.
So, yes, shout out to our friends at Hopewell Farm. Again, hopewellfarmtn.com if you need CBD supplies. And we'll put that link down below for you. There is one other conscious creator that we wanted to highlight. And that is, do you want to introduce it?
Yes. We had another conscious creator hit us up from Australia. So this is a product and a creation that's more accessible to those of you who are watching from the other side of the world. We have Cinnamon Dreams Studio, which is great because, again, this is the dream episode. So we thought that was appropriate. There are just handmade crystal jewelry, some of the nicest I've seen in a little while. I really like her stuff. I really like her pendants and her rings.
So which beautiful.
Are really like nice raw pieces and... they're beautiful. And so if you needed a little bit more crystals on your body, on your skin, and you're in that neck of the woods, or even just from here on this side of the world, of course, shipping, international shipping is a thing, but she wanted to support the podcast. So we're really, really grateful for her. And in return, we wanted to show off her awesome handmade stuff. So,
and very reasonably priced, like $35 for a huge turquoise ring.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
Yes. I think the rings are really nice.
They're so
nice.
Beautiful
and,
too.
And yeah, they're really unique. I like a lot of the pieces and like, ooh, that one's really nice. The
green agate?
Yeah, that's really cool.
Oh yeah, that's gorgeous.
Highlighting the actual shape of the crystal.
Oh,
that's really nice.
That's beautiful.
Very nice. Muy bueno.
So yeah, this is at Etsy.com/shop/CinnamonDreamsST.
Yes.
Or just look up Cinnamon Dreams ST on Etsy. We'll also have the link down below. So you can just click that too.
So thank you again for your support. We really appreciate it. And in return, we really hope that someone's going to grab any of your pieces for their very own or give it to their grandma, you know, whatever comes up. So we're really gracious to continue this creator economy in our circle, in our collective here. So really fun. And speaking of dreams, let's just jump right in because, you know, the last, I would say the month of February, and I've done a couple posts about this if you haven't seen it, but the dreams I've been having have been like multiple dreams a night, like 3 or 4 or 5 dreams a night. And I'm waking up and recalling them all and writing them down. And I believe that studying your own dreams and doing a dream journal every morning is a really good, this is my dream journal.
She's really good at it. I'm not so good at it. I tried dream journaling.
I am your dream journal.
I just, it write first thing in the morning. It's difficult for me to want to like start writing things down, but I give you major props because I do think it really helps. And I was journaling for a little bit and I noticed that it gave me a more clear recollection of my dreams. Because, you know, when you first wake up and you're like recording it, there's things you remember that you forget a couple hours later. So I give you big props for being so studious with that.
Yeah, sometimes I definitely fall away from it, but when they're this good, I can't help but write them down because I want to also leave space for new dreams to come in, because I feel like almost I want to hold on to the old stuff and then I have a hard time dreaming again. I don't know, maybe that's just me, but it's a really good way to train yourself as well to dream and to receive messages in your dreams. And I've been, some of the themes from these dreams that I've been noticing are actual me using psychic abilities in my dreams, like having a third eye moment where I'm looking at something and I see something, but it's not actually there, like it disappears, or I'm hearing a message, or I'm talking like telepathically with people, or I'm transporting and actually shifting to another reality with my mind. I've done a bunch of really cool stuff, but the storylines have become so rich and the messages have been so interesting. So I'm excited. I want to share a few of my dreams this month, and I want to encourage all of you to maybe start, if you haven't already, but continue a dream journal yourself and really allow and train that part of your body, because I believe it is our time where we're actually transcending to another realm, the astral realm, the astral plane, they call it. So the thicker and more firm bridge and foundation you build to and from that world, I feel like will also allow you to bridge to other worlds and have a little bit more experience.
Totally.
With the imagination.
What's the first dream you want to share with us?
Okay, so the first dream I want to share with you is one I had, I think on the 5th, and it involved going from a lunar base to a Mars base and having a whole storyline and the craziest experience there. So first of all, I was on a moon base, our moon, I'm assuming, and my family's there and everything, and I'm being assigned, or I'm taking it upon myself to go to the Mars base. And in the dream, I had never been there. I hadn't any idea. I literally was on more of a space shuttle type of craft, where I was like sitting in this tiny kind of cramped space for like a week or something like that. And I finally made it to Mars, and I don't know what to expect. And I'm actually seeing like a dome where there's trees and there's lights and there's this big base there. And I was impressed and surprised to see it. And I go down and I walk inside and I get into a lineup, and I realize that I'm in the wrong lineup, because there's all these fanciful creatures and beings in this lineup going into this big doorway, into this big portal or something. And either that portal goes out into the big dome and they're running around outside in this protected space, or they're going like completely into another realm or something. And I was like, ooh, that's not the line I'm trying to go into. So I go in, standing in the information in the complaints line, literally, and wondering as I'm watching these beings go into this portal from the line I'm in. It's crazy to me what I'm seeing. I'm seeing horses and carriages like out of Cinderella. I'm seeing creatures and beings that look like they're right out of video games or so on. And I'm trying to understand if they're real. What I'm seeing, is it a simulation? And what I was come to find and come to learn was that there was this settlement on Mars was basically a place where scientists and the military, in a way, have just sort of allowed the genetic manipulation of the person who is willing and wanting to become and actually morph their bodies into whatever character they really want. And it was very interesting. And I'm looking at them like, ooh, I don't want to do that to myself. Like, it would be cool, but I don't trust it.
That's so trippy. You know, the first thing that I thought of when you told me that was the information from Corey Good and Randy Kramer and other military secret space program whistleblowers who talk about literal colonies on Mars that started developing in like the like 40s, some say even earlier. But like really going into like the 50s and 60s is when it became heavy. And what they say is that there's people were like head scientists, lead scientists, the smartest people of the nations that were involved in this, were essentially recruited to go live on Mars. And what they would tell people is, you have an amazing opportunity to help save your race and help be a defining movement for the human race. And we want to ship you to Mars on a secret program and send you and your family. And you guys are going to work on some of the most cutting edge technology and, you know, really selling it. Like, you know, you guys are the best of the best, the brightest, the smartest, the toughest, whatever. And then they get there and find out that it was really like a huge manipulation, and they're essentially part of a huge slave colony experiment. And who knows the extent of that? And it makes me think that what you tapped into was like a real thing, because it wouldn't surprise me. It sounds very Atlantean to me. It sounds like the kind of experiment they did in Atlantis. Like the Law of One talks about how in Atlantis they were doing all these chimera hybrid experiments and playing God and playing with genetics. And that's like exactly what you're describing. And what better way to do it than to be like, you can be whoever you want. You can be, you know,
whatever Link from Zelda. Yeah, exactly.
You can be like, you know, the Avatar, or you can be whatever inspires
Cinderella.
You. And that inspiration is actually an interesting way for them to pursue that creative endeavor with multiple minds, right? Because they probably can't think of everything. So it gives them, you know, hypothetically, if this is all real, it gives the scientists and the military who are a part of this a broader creative expansion of what they're able to do, because they probably couldn't think of all those references and variations that that these people would have.
It's true. And that's not even the end of the dream. It was so much. And I just thought I felt like I needed to talk about it, because like Jason said, and I was aware of those things previous to this dream, just so you know, my subconscious had been primed in a way to kind of go in that direction. But what I physically saw was so extreme in a way, because again, like he mentioned in The Legend of Zelda, as an example, the character Link is a, you know, he's like an elven character. He's got a sword and everything. And I was physically seeing one of those people. And I was seeing people who had literally like magic coming off of them and sparkles. And they were all waiting in line basically to enter into this realm. And I couldn't figure out what the realm was. But when I was looking at other people in the line, I was waving my hand over their face. And it was like they were in another reality. Like they weren't really paying attention to me. And it made me instantly think of like artificial intelligence or something.
Kind of like VR.
Yeah, it was like a VR almost thing. Like I was almost inside a video game, but it was real. It was physical, because I was fine. I was normal and I was amongst them. And I'm waiting in line to be like, hi, I came here to meet with some scientists and some military officials to discuss the programs that are happening here. And I guess that's what I wanted to do there, or what I was supposed to do from the moon colony. And I was so blown away at what I was looking at. And it seemed like they were going into this world and also doing whatever they wanted as well. So
right. Like VR.
Like virtual reality. And
or augmented reality.
It also seemed like that their bridge between what reality was and what their game and their whatever they had morphed into was, they weren't able to discern the difference between the two of them. And that was interesting to me. I was actually ended up trying to save somebody who was going to be sexually assaulted.
So when you say they couldn't tell the difference between the two in the dream,
like they had no morals. They had moral compass. They were doing whatever they wanted, even in the realm or like the station where that stuff wasn't supposed to be going down, because there was normal rules and normal societal expectations and respect.
But there was still only one version of reality, right? Like it's like this was reality. It's just now you could use technology and genetic engineering to create a fantasy world. But it's not like they were going to a different, it's not like VR in the sense that you're putting it on and it's a different reality. It was like still physical.
It was still physical, but it also seemed like that there was some other layer overlay in their consciousness. Like they had no longer a grasp of normal reality. it was like their consciousness had been sucked into something else, or their focus was just somewhere else. Like when you look at a bunch of people looking at their phone, yeah. It was like that look on their face, but there was right. No phone there.
Zombified.
It was very strange. And
so well, that's the whole transhumanism agenda too.
It seemed like
that could be like an alternate future timeline where that could be the timeline, you know, the alternate ascension timeline rather than the organic ascension. That's like the timeline that's allowed to continue messing with genetics and yes. reality and that kind of old 3D transhumanism. That's kind of scary.
It was very weird to me, and I felt that way too. Like, I guess these scientists have gone here and they've just gone completely mad. They are doing whatever the heck they want, and they're pushing the limits in a way of science and genetics and so on. But the people cannot be returned back to their original form, which is what I went to go ask the officials and the scientists about at this meeting. And I sit down at this table with them, and I weirdly enough had a vape pen, and I've never really vape penned cannabis before. Like some people will hand them to me and maybe once in a while I'll take it. I don't really trust them. I don't really like them. And anyways, and I'm handing it to them being like, have some of this basically to this general and scientist, and the general takes some, and I'm like, oh, that's impressive. Like, I don't know why that was part of my dream. But then I sit down and I'm like, I need to have a conversation with you. I want to know if what you're doing to the people is reversible, because some of these people are from the lunar colony and from Earth colonies. And are they ever able to go back? And it was like, no, like they haven't been able to reverse what they were doing to these people. And then I was explicit in saying, okay, the genetic changes that I needed to go through to get here just to be able to, you know, survive and live in this gravity or in this vibration or whatever, I don't want anything other than the reversible effects. Like, I made that very clear because I wanted to go back. And I had this whole conversation, and they were saying, okay, like, we'll make sure that that doesn't happen. Basically make that very clear. And I was already ready to leave. Like, I was like, I'm done. Like, I've seen enough. And yeah, I remember being on the surface of Mars in a suit that had like a mask that opened and closed with like a button. And I could open it and close it so I could breathe.
That's like exactly how I'm pretty sure Randy Kramer describes his time on Mars, that they were.
I've never seen that guy either.
Yeah, so that's what's interesting.
Yeah.
I think he said that they were slightly genetically modified so that they could breathe the air in the atmosphere naturally. And although most of the time they would have their helmets on, but that they could take their helmets off if needed, they would yes. just be using more energy and it would be a little bit harder.
That's what it felt like. It's so weird fascinating. That you're saying that. And like, yeah, and I was out there and people were actually shooting at me. And I was also like, there was like a transgression. I was trying to save somebody from being assaulted. I was trying to like, I was kind of walking around looking at stuff. And then it seemed like I got mixed up in the VR people, but they were physically shooting at me, but I wasn't playing the game, and they were shooting real weaponry at me. And I was like confused, like, oh, these people are confused. And I could tell that they didn't really think that what they were doing was wrong. It was just part of the game. But I had to like dodge an attack. And then I went and saw these officials and had this conversation with them. And it was crazy. They're like, yeah, we can't, like, we haven't really tried, and we aren't, like, this isn't, like, that's it for these people. Like, they're here, they're modifying, and they're just getting deeper and deeper into the game. And I'm just like, ugh, everything, I don't like that. People on the lunar base don't know that this is happening here. Right. And
let alone the Earth.
The Earth, yeah. It's so funny. I'd barely thought about the Earth.
Everything you're saying sounds so real to me, and I know that there's probably some people out there that are like, you know, that's a crazy dream, what fantasy, but this honestly sounds like and we haven't even talked about this yet, I'm surprised that we didn't think of this, but it sounds like an SSP regression memory. It sounds like a past life or like, you know, 20 and back type program memory, because everything you're describing just like intuitively feels so spot on and correct in some form of reality.
Yeah, and I had so many thoughts and feelings during the dream, like inner dialogue as well. Like I'm looking at these characters who are, they've got huge hair that's all rainbow colors and they're sparkling and they look beautiful. And I had like a shaved head or something and was wearing a beanie and kind of felt emaciated and skinny and ugly in a way.
Shaved head. You were a woman though?
I was
you
a
were
woman. You? I was. I was honestly a similar body type that I am now. Like,
Do you know why your head was shaved?
I don't. I just remember that it was like buzzed and short and kind of like maybe pink or something. Whoa. Like I had colored my own hair, which I have done.
Do you know who you were representing when you went to the planet?
It was the lunar colony.
You were from the lunar colony.
That's what it felt like. Yeah. And that I had like gotten the opportunity to go visit Mars.
So the command at the lunar colony like sent you to Mars to basically check up on this in a way?
It seemed like I had gotten the opportunity to go visit there and then maybe check it in because I felt very authoritative, like I had something to do.
Right.
And I mean, pink but hair I didn't is have badass. Any like anything on me that made me think like I was a military person or anything. I felt like I was more of like a civilian in that sense, but very aware.
Were you in disguise?
Or like a leader maybe in the colony or a But I wasn't in a disguise.
When you talked to these military generals and people, did they treat you with respect?
They did.
Like you had honor in their eyes? Or were you kind of a random civilian?
To me, it seemed like I don't know why I was able to sit down with these people. But I had an authority about me in a way of responsibility to humanity in a way. Yeah. The kind of authority I have now. Yeah. Where I was like, I need you to tell me what you're doing and what's going on and if it's reversible and what we can do, because there's a lot of people here and it seems like they're not, like, they can't come visit us in the lunar or in the Earth colonies.
Right, because they've messed with their genetics so much.
And they can't be reversed.
That makes sense logically, that there are slight genetic modifications that you could make that are reversible, like being able to breathe different mm-hmm. molecules in the atmosphere, but that once you start experimenting with deep level genetic hybrid programs and just really messing with the genetic structure, that you can't go back at that point. And what didn't you say that they said when you asked about that, when you asked if it was reversible, they said not yet, like they pretended like they were trying to work on it but they weren't really.
Yeah, it felt like exactly like they hadn't really put a lot of effort into that thought process.
Because why would they? Because they don't care.
Yes, but they didn't seem modified. They seemed official and like their personal bodies were okay and they could go to and from colonies. And so that's why I kind of gravitated towards them right. too, because I was like, oh, these are normal people and I want to have a convo with them. But I was at some type of official, kind of unofficial meeting with them, having this discussion. And I think that's all I really remember. Like that's kind of where it ended. But weirdly enough, the whole theme that I remember was almost as if I was retelling a story about how, like, I think it was like me trying to figure out how they genetically modified people to grow hair that was blue instead of me just coloring my hair Whoa. Blue.
And that's a trippy synchro.
Like, it's something to do with like my grandmother wanted blue hair. Like that was like,
that was your main motive.
That was the weirdest part. And I was like, why did I care so much about that? But it was like,
well, that would explain why you love blue hair.
Yeah, well, maybe. And it was just like, remember, like how we do it on the moon colony and Earth is so different from what you guys do. You literally make the person grow blue hair and they become a cartoon character, basically, for real. And I guess that's what I was investigating in a weird way, like on a personal level. But then I was like, this is way blown out of proportion. This is crazy town, what they're doing to these people. And they're not even themselves anymore. And I was asking about that, basically. And then I was like, I'm leaving. I'm going back.
To me, this is so indicative of the same karmic patterns that we experienced in Atlantis. Like I was just saying, like the Law of One talks about how we were experimenting with like really deep level genetic modifications and stuff. And it ended up in a huge catastrophe that destroyed the civilization. And I know our friend Z has pointed out certain people in the disclosure community that she thinks are the reincarnations of some of these scientists that have actually been verified by other people outside of her.
Right.
And I resonate with it that some of these people that were involved in the Atlantean catastrophe are reincarnated now. Some of them are trying to right the wrongs that they did in a way, and others are not. Others are repeating the same mistakes that they did. And it sounds like if this was a legitimate experience, that it's the same thing.
It also made me think about the underground bases that have been said are actually here, where scientists are doing similar things with like clones, and they're cloning and creating these people who they're fans of, and then doing weird, sick things to these clones. And they're basically, scientists are able to do whatever they want, but they can't leave the bases. So they have these weird, twisted reality of what things are going on and what they do with their science, like in Atlantis, probably similarly.
Right. Funny enough, I think Sedona is one of those places. I mean, the popular ones would be like Dulce, New Mexico. That's one of the big cloning underground genetic experiment facilities. But I feel like Sedona, maybe not anymore. I feel like, you know, there's been a shift in the powers that be, the powers that were, and
in the military,
in the military intelligence, and in the deeper classified. If you follow Q, you'll know like what I'm talking about, the Patriots in Control and all the patterns that are evolving that really prove that Patriots, meaning good people, are in control of these programs now. But I think Sedona used to be one of those places that was doing a lot of sketchy experiment stuff like that. And there are so many stories, so many online. I've heard them in person over and over and over from people we know, of people going on hikes in, you know, the wilderness, going a little bit off trail, especially out in the Boynton Canyon, Secret Canyon area of Sedona, and coming across a couple guys in full suit attire with machine guns, sunglasses, that say you have to turn around right now and go back. And it's never anything like violent. It's just, you know, when you're walking in the middle of Sedona and you come across two guys in a suit with machine guns, of course you're going to turn around and go back and not question. Never heard of anything bad happening to anybody. But it's definitely a pattern that people have talked about over and over. And there's a lot of that kind of weird stuff here. And it wouldn't surprise me if they were using the energies here to work on that kind of stuff. But again, I feel like this has been, that timeline has shifted. I think we're on a different timeline now, a more positive timeline, where good people have taken control of these programs and are learning how to rebalance them. Mm. Nice dream.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a lot.
Dream.
Yeah, whatever that was. And even on the moon base, I've had multiple dreams about being in the moon and in rooms and structures in the moon that are kind of dilapidated. They aren't that fancy.
Which is exactly what Corey Good says.
And
yeah, you remember that?
And like, that there's like, not a lot of color. There's not a lot of life. There's not a lot of interesting stuff going on. And so it was exciting for me to go to Mars as well. And then, yeah, it was just so weird how like we had such a simple kind of boring, weird like life in the lunar colony. And it also kind of felt like I couldn't go to Earth as well.
Because of genetic?
Kind of in my genetic, like I was born there or something. Or
just regulations?
I don't know. But it didn't have that desire, that longing as much. It was very much like, what is going on Mars?
Yeah.
And the lunar colony felt like a home.
Trippy.
It was. And I've had multiple dreams where I'm in places like that in the moon, so...
Curious if you've had any dreams like that, any secret space program, off-planet dreams, please drop them in the comments down below. And if you don't feel comfortable doing that, then just message us, because we would both love to hear and compare information about that.
Yeah, I thought sharing these dreams might spark some relatable content to all of you. And I'd want to see if you ever had anything like that happen in your dream before, if you've seen these things. But now that was one of them that I wanted to share with you, because it was quite the epic story. And I woke up and was like, what the heck? Wow. And I wrote like pages and pages of stuff. But you also had quite an interesting dream the other night. And I was wondering if you wanted to share that.
Yeah. And I haven't been dreaming very much for the past few weeks, few months since we moved to Sedona. I haven't dreamt a ton. And since we've started taking Ormus, Shout out to our friends Piramana and their Ormus. That's what we've been taking. I've started dreaming more, and or at least recalling my dreams.
Yeah.
And I had one the other night. Was it the same night that you had that? I don't think so. I think maybe it was the next night.
It was.
I had a dream that I was in some type of, it felt like some kind of simulation. I was in some kind of like cabin or house with a bunch of people on what kind of felt like a reality TV show. It felt very fake. It felt not real. And I was very confused. And I was like running around asking everybody, like, what are we doing here? Like, who are you? Like, what is the purpose of us being here? Like, how do I get out of here? What's going on? And it was really strange, very, very strange and very, very real feeling. And there was one person, there was this girl.
Didn't they all have like canned responses, almost like an NPC?
Yeah, yeah. It was like I would ask them a question. I forgot about that. I would ask them a question and they would respond with something that was like maybe somewhat related, but not the way a normal person would respond to a question. It would be like sometimes something totally unrelated. And I would just be like, what the heck are you talking about? Most of the people I didn't know, there was a couple of familiar faces. There was this one girl who I didn't know who had come into my dream earlier in the night in a different dream. And I didn't recognize her. I didn't know her name, but she was the only person there that felt like a real person to me. She was the only person that felt like she had a soul. And so I kept like asking her questions and being like, what's going on? And so eventually she's like, okay, like, let's go outside. Like, I want to show you something. Or like, maybe it was that we were going to like break out or something like that. It's kind of blurry. And we went outside and it was very dark. And I became aware that there were other people or beings out there. And there was another building or house of some kind that these beings were around, but they were also outside. And when I became aware of them, so did she. And she was like, oh shoot, be careful. Don't let so-and-so see you. And it was some name. And I don't remember what it was.
Oh, you said it was like some site. It was a C word.
Started with a C, yeah.
Yeah.
Cat. I want to say like catamaran, but something like that. And the moment she said that, don't let them see you, I could feel they saw me. And I could feel it in my being. And then we were both like, run. And as soon as that happened, I turned to run. And all of a sudden, there's this huge bright flash. Everything freezes. And then all of a sudden, I'm shooting out of my body upwards into space at like faster than light speed, like way faster than light speed, like a kablillion jillion miles an hour. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. My whole body was vibrating. It felt like I was ascending. I just like shot out like a meteor and I was like, oh, and I'm just going through space and I feel like a meteor going through space. Everything's flying by me and I'm just like vibrating and it felt good. Like, it felt like I had just narrowly escaped something.
Or you were killed and you were.
Maybe, but I didn't think about it that way.
Okay.
It didn't feel like I was killed. It felt like, I don't know, there was a white flash and then I was just like, there was no pain, there was no discomfort. Maybe. It felt like, this might be a stretch for some people, but it felt like if I was going to return to my native dimension or density, that's what it felt like. Like all of a sudden I was just shooting through dimensions at like a million miles an hour. And the next thing I know it, like maybe 3-4 seconds later, relative, you know, in that time, I was like gently set back into my body in my bedroom. And I was immediately awake in my room. My eyes were open and I was just like, it was still dark outside. The sun was just about to come up. It was just barely sunrise. And I was set down in my body and it felt so fresh. Like, it didn't feel like a dream. It felt like I had just shot through space at a million miles an hour. And now I was like put into my real body And I got up and I was like, I literally questioned if the reality was real. You weren't awake yet. I got up and I walked in.
I felt you get up though.
It was so weird.
Sat up in bed and you walked out of the room and I was like, ooh.
I was like, I got to make sure like I'm actually in reality right now. And I walked around and I looked at things and I looked at the time and the sun was just starting to come up and it was really strange. So yeah, that was the first dream that I had that I can remember in a while. And it was intense.
Yeah. You were very shook. And he's like, you have to hear what I went through because I physically experienced this hyperspeed movement of your body through space.
And I have had one other dream that's felt like that. I had one dream a few years ago where I also felt like I had this vibrational phenomena happen in my body, like a multi-dimensional vibrational dimensional experience. But in this older dream, I was laying on my back with some friends and we were watching the sky, and all of a sudden this black triangle flies out from behind the mountains and we're all looking at it, and then all of a sudden a very similar feeling happens. My whole body starts vibrating and I'm being slowly pulled up to this black triangle, and it was just like but that was more slow, but it was a similar vibrational feeling. But that was more like, I don't know, like tractor beam feeling, maybe. Like it was, I didn't have too much emotion around it, like if it was bad or good or human or non-human. But it was a similar vibration, and that's what this dream reminded me of.
So these beings that were walking around outside that you were not supposed to get spotted by, what did you think that they were? You think they were some type of watchers or
yeah,
part of what?
You know, now that you're saying that and I'm thinking about it, it felt like the movie Cabin in the Woods. You ever seen that?
No, I don't watch that stuff.
Cabin in the Woods is a horror-esque movie. It's more of a psychological thriller, but also a comedy in a way. Oh. But basically the plot behind the movie is that it's basically like a stereotypical horror movie, but stereotypical is, and they make it like super cheesy, like it's supposed to be stereotypical, like it's like, you know, like suit like a video game, just like super cheesy. And then you find out not too far into the movie that it's actually an experiment, and that there's humans in a building somewhere that are doing all of these horror demonstrations on this group of teenagers in the cabin in the woods. And so they like press a button and the zombies come out, and then they're like, okay, time to send out the mutant, whatever, or this monster or whatever. But it was like done in like a comedy kind of way.
Okay.
And so it kind of felt like that, where it was like what we were experiencing was fake. And most of the people I was with were fake. And then these other beings were like running that simulation or something like that, is kind of what it felt like intuitively.
Well, I'm glad you got out of there and rejoined me in the bed.
Yeah. And I don't know what the white flash was. Maybe it was like a flashlight hitting me. It didn't have context like that in the moment, but...
Right.
Then it was just like pulled out of my body.
So that'll be a good one also to ask the audience, if you've ever experienced something like that, that type of very physical shooting out of your body at a crazy speed, because like, I have not, so I cannot relate to you on that one. But you really did shoot out of bed and walk off, and I just went back to sleep because it was early. So that'd be good to hear.
Let's purify those dreams with some sound.
Ah, yes. Let's clear that out.
Cleanse that, whatever that was. May any negative attachments or interference be cleared from our physical, emotional, and etheric bodies.
I'm going to light some more. Just...
May all beings responsible for any wrongdoings involved with these experiences receive balance. And may we be cleared of any traumas that were endured through these experiences, real or not.
Aho.
Aho. I feel better already.
So, is it my turn now?
Yes.
Okay.
Next dream.
Let's do it. So, the next dream I had, which was kind of fun, and oh, darn it, I forgot that we were going to try and do some music at the end of this podcast. But we'll do it another time. We'll do it another time, but that's a little bit of a what's it called? Foreshadowing of what I'm going to talk about. So I had another dream. Obviously, like I'm telling you, these dreams are like very, very intensely cinematic, like 2 hours worth of very detailed information. And I first one I recall is that I was in right outside of the Oval Office taking a selfie of myself trying to get the Oval Office in the view of my camera so I could like quickly get a picture of it. But I didn't want to get in trouble because I'm pretty sure, I don't know, I guess you weren't allowed to do that, but I was trying. And it's like, okay, come on, Alexis. And I turn over and there's another horse and carriage. So that's like the second dream in a row where I've had a horse and carriage in the dream, which is weird to me. I don't know what that means. I forgot to look it up. I'm always looking up the symbols that occur over and over in my dreams as well to see what they might mean. So I'll have to look that one up. And in this carriage, there's like four children who I was assuming were my own children. And this man who looked very much like you, but older and more serious and less interested in me in a way, a little more detached emotionally. And I get into this carriage and it's a magic carriage. And we're just careening through traffic, like making really hard turns. And I'm like, oh my God, like we've got a carriage full of kids, like my babies, like, ah, like stop driving like a psychopath. And we're going through like traffic. So it felt like downtown New York or something. And I've had multiple dreams in this scape. And I've never been to New York, but it seemed like we then took a really hard right and went into a gated church cemetery plot of land in this like downtown area. And so I jump out of the carriage and I'm like, all right, I guess we're just going to look around and look. And so we went and we wandered. Don't know where the kids went at this point. It seemed like they stayed in the carriage. I don't know.
So was this like, did it feel like you were in the past? Like horse and carriage makes me think this was like,
well, there was cars.
1800. Oh, there were.
There were. I know. Oh. We were like plowing through traffic as if, you know, the cars were almost not even really there.
Okay.
But narrowly missing. And I don't even know how some points.
Like the night bus in Harry Potter.
Exactly. Very close to that. And it felt a lot like that.
An etheric carriage.
It was very interesting. And there was driving? Horses. This, you know, husband figure.
Okay.
Was driving, and he seemed like he was the magic one in a lot of ways too, and he was the one initiating what was going on. And I was kind of telling him where I wanted to go or where we wanted to go next, which was, I guess, this cemetery church plot. And so again, we pull over, I get out, and I start exploring and wandering around, and I'm trailing after this guy in a way, and he's on his own mission. I don't really know what he's doing. And I wander around and I run into a tour group. There's another group of people there. And there was some friendly banter between the people in the tour group, between me and this husband figure and another person. And then the husband figure kind of walked off in another direction, kind of in a darker hallway or something. And I was like, oh, I'm going to stay out here, because there was like this courtyard that was walled off, like with a wall maybe like 4 or 5 feet tall. And in the wall kind of seemed like it was formed out of like a clay or something. And in the wall, there was like abnormally shaped cubbies, and almost as if it was like a little tomb or something. And in these cubbies were like little statues and kind of like ceramic statues or something, but kind of crumbled and broken and old because it's a cemetery. And I sit down and I, for some reason, so it's like a grassy little area, walled off, cubbies. There's this tour group also in there, and I'm looking around and I see a singing bowl right in front of me. And I'm like, I want to activate this space, was what came to me. It's like, I'm going to activate this space because this feels like a ceremonial grounds in a way. And I thought maybe I could bring it to life. Don't know, never done anything like that before, but I began playing the song bowl, and so does another person. They kind of copied me, and we realized that the song bowls weren't making any noise. Like, we were trying and trying, and I couldn't get it to do anything, and I was confused. Like, why was the song bowl here if this is not what we were supposed to do to activate the space, basically? And then I get this idea that maybe it's dancing or like movement or something that can activate the space, the ceremonial space. And so I begin to kind of move around and kind of shake and, you know, do some dancing. And I begin to hear like music coming out of nowhere, and this beat and this like rhythm, like dun 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 dun. And I'm hearing this and I'm like, oh, it's working. It's like coming to life. And then all of a sudden I turn around and I see this screen, like a TV monitor that I hadn't noticed before. And on it are two of these statues, kind of like marionettes in a way, but they're talking to each other. And it's like this text is coming down and like stats are starting to roll across the screen. And it looks like that they're, everybody in that space is getting like a brief like diagnosis in a way. So they're seeing almost a percentages and stuff of impurities in the people in the group. So I'm getting all these stats and they're rolling through, and they're like, these two beings on the screen are talking to each other, and I'm like, what is this? And it seems like then it ends and it's like a conclusion comes up, or a diagnosis, and the diagnosis is 7 hours of dancing. And I was like, what? And the music starts getting louder. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I guess what it is that we needed to purify our bodies. And it was like purifying from programming and impurities in the food and blah, blah, blah. Like all these things that, you know, we've kind of taken on and I know are causing crap in our, and that kind of honestly look like this little guy. In a way, like maybe that's an example in for your minds. And this is like a jade piece we got from China, but it kind of looked like this.
Not just any jade piece. This is from super ancient, yeah, Mongolia, China. This is like 8,000 years old, at least.
And
that's interesting.
But that's kind of an example.
Yeah. Well, what I thought of when you told me this originally was the little forest spirits from Princess Mononoke.
Yes, which also is very close. And again, they felt like they were made out of like clay or, you know, more natural material. And that they had, and then, you know, as the music's turning on, these little cubbies in the wall, these crumbled beings are kind of coming out and gathering in the center and kind of coming to life in their own little way, and they're beginning to like waddle and like dance, and they're going in a circle in this courtyard, and the people are like, you know, joining them in a way, starting to walk in this circle, and this tribal beat is coming out of nowhere. And it was weird because I couldn't physically make music in that space, but there was music happening,
right?
And we're going and we're dancing, and I'm like, 7 hours, like, oh my gosh, like that's a long time. This is gonna be a long party.
It's like Sundance.
Yes. And it, you know, it also reminded me, I was like, have I ever danced for 7 hours straight before? And I probably have at one point in my, you know, in my days of going to festivals and
isn't
so
Sundance
on.
Like 3 days straight?
Yes, it's a long time.
So you probably have in a past life.
A fractal of me definitely has managed to do something like this, and I felt confident about it. I wasn't scared. I was excited in a way that I had activated this, and was fascinated that 7 hours of dancing was what was prescribed to me and to this group to purify us of all of our impurities and our programming, and to like lift us into a happier place. And it was so profound. And so, you know, I began dancing and going around in this circle, and that was basically the end of that dream.
So epic. And then after that, the next day, she's like, we need to play tribal music. She's like, can you pull up some of your tribal house music, and I want to try to find like the same BPM and the same beat. And I
DJ. I could remember it.
Yeah. I DJ a lot of like tribal house music, tribal techno, but like lower, like my favorite BPM is around 111 actually. And I put on a song that was around 111 BPM and she's like, yes, this is it. And it's funny because I've been wanting you to like that kind of music for years, the entire time we've been together. I feel like back in my festival days, when I was going through my initial awakening experience and doing a lot of psychedelics and other stuff like that, it really opened up. Yeah, it really opened up energy centers in my entire being that allowed me to then integrate codes and information over that time period and even through now. Major activation. And one of the things that really helped me become confident with myself and move into my body and actually enjoy dancing, because for my entire life, I hated dancing. I never liked dancing. My friends were always trying to get me to dance, you know, at like birthday parties and stuff when we were kids and in high school and school dances. And I never liked it. I never felt comfortable. And after taking MDMA at a music festival and listening to like tribal house music, I felt like it literally rewired something in my brain where I could feel the music was alive. The repetitive beat of house music, you know, the boom, boom, boom. It was a heartbeat. Yeah. And I remember having this revelation with a bunch of people at the same time. And the music was so, it felt like it was alive. And up until that moment, I didn't really like electronic music of that type because I didn't really understand it. And it's like it rewired my brain. And all of a sudden, I didn't really like the old style music anymore. You know, the kind of classic, like whatever it is, rock or pop, where you have the same chords and you have the same structure. You have the intro and the bridge and the chorus and blah, 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 blah. And it's like the same thing over and over in like every genre and every song. This was all of a sudden like it tapped into something greater than that. And it was like music I could now see as patterns, emerging patterns of sound, but they were visual. And ever since then, I've loved that kind of music and I've resonated with it. And I've been trying to share what I feel from that kind of music with you for years. And then after this dream, it's like that did the same thing for you as this stuff did for me. And now you feel, right? Like you feel that medicine of the music in a way, right? Like that it's alive. It's like a heartbeat. It did feel
like a medicine, and that these ancestral, you know, beings, these, I don't even know what they could be described as, but spirits maybe, embodying these little statues, were like actually trying to help and created this music, which came from like the spiritual realm. Like it came out of nowhere, and it was so interesting and magical and felt very ancestral and healing. And I love dancing. I have always really liked to dance. And I've always been wiggling around. My father always played music. My mom, dad, I was always dancing and flailing around, like making up my own moves. And in, you know, in university and the bars and stuff, I wouldn't even like drink. And I would just be dancing like all night long, just having the best time improvising and going to the festivals. I love to dance. And I didn't understand the pace that you liked, because for me, I like things to go fast. Like, what's that? Psytrance is a good, like, much faster. And I like things to be faster.
I love psytrance too, to be fair.
I liked, you know, remixed, you know, pop music and so on, because there's words and there's shifts and movements and you can, like, mime your way in actions. And I liked lyrics and so on. And I still do. Not to say, but I honestly was like, your pace is too slow. I can't really do as many like improvised awesome moves and jump. I really also like to jump on my toes and jump and jump and jump. And so after this dream, I get up and I'm like, I need to dance. Okay, I'm going to purify my body, because that's what I've been really working on. I've been trying to open up my heart space and like stop being so angry and blocked. And so I start dancing, and I'm doing it my way, and I'm like, there's no music. I'm just basically like just doing whatever I want and just enjoying myself. And my heart rate went up so fast, and I felt this opening in my chest, and I was just like, I'm so dumb. Like, I was so embarrassed in a way, because I'm like, how do I open the heart? How do I activate my heart? Like using crystals and whatever. No, the best way to activate your heart is to get your cardio up and jump around and dance. And I felt like it was such a blessing in a way to get this dream. Like, Alexis, if you want to heal yourself, you need to dance. But it was a slower pace, like kind of trudging around a campfire kind of like pace was the music in the dream. And so after like 10 minutes of me doing my rate of dancing, I was completely exhausted and overexerted, and I didn't want to continue. And so I asked him to play the music at his, or I mimicked the pace because I had remembered from my dream. He puts on a song and it's like the same beats per minute, like instantly. And so I then had a better appreciation for what medicine that you had found, because you've told me that story a few times, because we've had this, you know, debate a few times. I'm like, that's not dance music. Like, you need more. I can't jump to this.
But if you're dancing for 7 hours,
it's got to be a little slower. In a circle around like a campfire with a bunch of people, it's a lot less chaotic if you have a little bit more of a rhythm.
And that's a really good point. I think what I felt back in my festival days when I was on mushrooms or MDMA or whatever, when I was tapping into these other realms and I was feeling like this super powerful energy, I think partly I was tapping into like past life or genetic memories of doing this in a tribal nature. Because I remember specifically, especially when I would take mushrooms at these festivals, and especially if I was in like dirt and it was like house music, it was just like tribal house. It felt so primal and so familiar, which is like, how can electronic music feel primal? But it was the tribal aspect of it. And that's why I really like tribal music and natural sounds. But with that, because it's what we used to do probably, you know, hundreds, thousands of years ago.
Yeah, with the drum.
Yeah.
It's very simple. And it made a lot of sense. And it was cool that they were more ancestral beings and we were in a graveyard. So obviously they had been dead for a while or old. And this was an old culture kind of coming to life again. And
which is interesting, because we've been going on a hike near a graveyard a lot recently.
It's true. I never even thought about that.
And doing prayers for the people there and sending them love and freedom and support. Because cemeteries hold a lot of that stale energy. You know, a lot of times when people die, they can be stuck.
This cemetery, I don't get that vibe as much from.
No.
It's kind of a unique cemetery, dug into the red sand and the red rocks and with all the mountains behind them. Like, the cemetery I was in was more like in the middle of the city, like a plot of land. Like you're saying, so more stale, kind of old.
This dream took place in a building?
No, it was an outdoor courtyard.
In a city. How interesting.
Like a church that was gated, and part of the courtyard was cemetery. But this particular space was like a walled off like square.
I wonder what those spirits were.
It was interesting. And I wasn't threatened by them or scared. It just kind of seemed like that they wanted to dance. Like that was their thing.
How big
thing.
Were they?
They weren't big, like they were maybe like this big.
That reminds me just of those Princess Mononoke tree spirits.
When you said that, I was like, that's very similar to what it felt like, that they were very simple looking.
If you haven't seen Princess Mononoke,
you should have brought that up. You could like search it up and show people.
Oh yeah.
What they look like.
I can look it up right now.
So, yes, and then I had an interview with Unbiased and On the Fence, that YouTube channel, with Shane, and we talked about dancing and how healing it was, but I still have like set. I did like 1 hour total maybe of dancing since that dream. Yes. Very similar. We should watch that again.
It's such a good movie. If you haven't seen it, it's a beautiful, beautiful movie. Miyazaki movie, Studio Ghibli.
These little guys.
We have a rock in our house that came with our house that looks like the head of one of these guys.
It's just over there. Go get it. Yeah. So the importance of dancing in healing yourself and in activating your heart chakra was very much like the message that I ended up getting from this dream. And it was very helpful to me, and it's reminded me, and I don't think I'll forget it. And I want to continue participating in that practice. And I would like to encourage all of you to participate in that practice. And if you have a song maybe that would, you know, off by heart that you could recommend people to search up.
You know what I'll do is I'll post one of my old mixes with that kind of music. I'll put it in the comments. Yeah. Okay. And I really want to start doing that again. I recently got a mixer for Christmas, and I'd been trying to manifest that for the entire time we were in the van. And every time we almost went to go buy it, Spirit was like, now is not the time. Like, you have to wait a little longer.
Yeah.
And just like with so many things that I've experienced, I've had to fully let them go before they came into my life, including her. I was madly in love with Alexis before she was in love with me. And I felt so strongly before we were physically together that I was supposed to be with her. She was with someone else, and I didn't get it. I, like, every part of my being was like, I'm supposed to be with her. Like, I just feel that. And I had, this is a bit of a side story, but I think it's cute. I had my higher self come to me and ask me.
In a meditation.
No.
Okay.
Not even, no. Well, I mean, kind of. I wasn't sitting on the ground. I was like, most of my meditative experiences with my higher self were when I was working with my altar. So I would like be organizing my altar and I would get all these downloads. So it was in that kind of experience.
Okay.
And my higher self came to me and said, you are supposed to be with her. That was the timeline. There's been some other things that have happened. Are you okay with her being with this other person? And I said, if it's for the highest good of all beings, then yes, I am okay with that. If that's the highest timeline for everybody. And months went by and nothing happened. And then the voice came to me again and said the same thing. And I said the same thing back. And it basically told me it needed my permission, in a way, for the timeline to do that. Like, I had an actual say in it, because that was the original timeline. And I basically had to fully let her go emotionally. And as soon as I did that is when everything started connecting with her and I, and we came together physically, and I flew up there, and now we're here. And it happened so fast.
Yeah.
And yeah, so my point being is there's a lot of things that I've noticed in my life that I've had to like fully release them emotionally, any expectations, anything like that, before I was allowed to have them. And I'm sure that's a pattern with other people too. But yeah, with this mixer, it was the same thing. I got it for Christmas finally. And now I'm super excited to start doing music again, DJing, and
making mixes for people to dance to.
Yeah, which is what I did in college with my college friends. We threw events and DJed and had parties, and it was a lot of fun. And her and I both agree that that is an element that we want to bring to Sedona.
Yes,
we want to.
Because I love to dance. I'm really good at getting people to dance and have a good time, and he's good at making the music to do it, but I'm all right at that. I want to DJ too, but
I'm teaching her.
Yeah. I'm obviously not as drawn to the same style of music or rate.
But now you are.
I am. I appreciate it. I appreciate it's good for that type of healing, where if you need to dance for 7 hours, it's definitely the more appropriate pace.
Or even just an hour.
Or just an hour, honestly. And, but I still love the other stuff, of course, because again, I love to dance and I love to flail around. And so get you a man who completely lets you go. And then you'll be magnetized right to him in some other form or fashion. So It's pretty epic. Every time I hear you talk about that, I'm like, wow, that would be so emotionally intense and so hard. And I really feel for him, because I'm also very grateful that I wasn't that person in the relationship, because that would be really hard to know this, have this inherent knowing within you to a point where it's confusing and not know how it's possibly going to turn out. And I feel like a lot of people have those experiences, but maybe in an unhealthy way.
Yes, I was going to say that. I think a lot of people think they feel that, but they're actually tapping into their own projections and not timelines. Right. And it's like expectations that they're tapping into. Because I've seen a lot of people who have said similar things, but it's like a weird situation where they're like stalking the other person, and they're like, I'm meant to be with you, and the other person's like, no, go away.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's definitely both sides, but I think that tapping into timelines like that is a gift that we all have, that we can develop the more we work on it.
Not to be judgmental or anything, but
no,
I've definitely heard both sides of that coin, for sure. Yeah. What else would you like to?
Well, I'm trying to think if I've had any other dreams. I can't recall anything. But you know, one thing I did want to talk about was this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
This little bit of magic right here. This is called fulgurite. I'll switch to this camera. There we go. This is called fulgurite. It is petrified lightning stone. And this happens to be Sedona red rock fulgurite. It's extremely rare. It is a crystal that forms when lightning strikes sand or dirt, and the temperature of the lightning superheats the earth and fuses it together instantly. And this is a phenomenon that happens all over the world. You can find fulgurite online from everywhere from the US to Morocco, like where it's formed. And different places have the different energetic qualities, I think, of the land there. And so a lot of times when fulgurite strikes, it actually creates a glass tube. Because,
when fulgurite strikes.
Did I say when fulgurite strikes?
Fulgurite strikes, it hurts.
It's falling from the skies. No, it's when lightning strikes, it can actually create a glass tube, because when you
silica.
Yeah, when you melt sand, you know, that's how you get glass. And so that's what happens. Now, this fulgurite is extremely rare because it's from Sedona, and it's the only fulgurite in the world that I'm aware of that is made of red earth, consistently. And I've looked online for this stuff over and over and over, and I couldn't find a single person, not on eBay, not on Etsy, selling Sedona fulgurite. I've seen it in the past. It comes up every now and then, but people buy it like that because it's so rare. We happen to find a bunch after praying for abundance to come in. And then Mother Nature and Sedona were like, here you go. This is for you. And so now we want to pay that forward and have them find their forever homes with whoever they're meant to be with. So if you feel attracted to having a piece of fulgurite, and you also want to help support us, just let one of us know, and we can send you one of these pieces. There's a lot of different variety of the shapes and sizes. They're really unique. Some are twisty, turny like that. Some have all these like little nubs and mini fulgurite tubes. They're really, really unique. It's really cool. And they have all of the energy of the lightning. That's why the natives loved them, because it's like you have all this divine energy from the lightning strike, and then it's blasted into this tiny spot. And then, you know, the Sedona red earth is already extremely energetically powerful. And then now it's supercharged, infused, and crystallized instantly with the lightning. So they're super powerful. I've even had some of our friends here in Sedona be like, you can't just give that out to anybody. Like, it's so powerful. Like, you got to make sure you give it to the right person because they're, you know, they can overwhelm people. I don't necessarily believe that, you know, I should refrain from like giving it to anybody. I think if you were drawn to this, then it's meant for you, you know? And they're,
yeah, you can handle it. You're not going to blow up. It's right. Not literally lightning. It's a crystal created instantly through lightning and sand meeting. It's really one of my favorite parts about it is that a lot of crystals, like here's an example, this amethyst crystal, right? This was taken a lot longer to form and be created in the earth, and they're being, you know, harvested all the time. We're about to go to the Tucson Gem Show. That's our intention. We're gonna do a vlog about it and possibly bring some of these pieces there and maybe trade or see what happens. And anyways, that's gonna be hopefully one of the next videos you see. But you know, some crystals are really sacred and they take thousands of years to form, and then they're like chopped out of the earth and they're sold in massive quantities for whatever price. And it's so weird to me that they put prices on crystals and so on, because it's just, I understand that that's kind of how humans interact. Like, we trade with money a lot of the time instead of like
food. It's an energy exchange.
It's an energy exchange. And so I have a feeling like the crystals maybe don't really care and they don't mind, because they know on some level that their energy is healing and helpful.
And they want to get out there. They want to be spread and deliver their codes to the people.
They want to be spread out. And so the rarity of these things and everything is kind of incomprehensible, but we believe that they're really fantastic. They're really high vibe to have all the pieces that we've collected in our home has been really awesome, and we really enjoy them. And we've kind of got a knack now for finding them. And I believe that there's no coincidence for that. We've been kind of prepped and primed. We've received a piece from another local here, and he told us all about them and where to find them.
This one, actually.
He was really kind to us. It was a gift.
This is our personal, like, prized fulgurite wand, as they call them. This is a very, very large piece.
Yeah.
They are not normally this big. This is, like, an extreme rarity.
Yeah, usually you get them in the smaller sizes.
Yeah, this is kind of the typical size that you find them in. And what we want to do is we want to make like pendants out of them and necklaces. So also, if you're interested in having one of these as a pendant, let us know too, and we can hook you up with that. Or if you just want, like, you know, more of a medium sized piece by itself, they make great altar pieces. I love carrying them, having them in my pocket. If you're doing Qigong or like any kind of energy movement where you don't need to like put your hands down like yoga, they're great to hold on to. We've been putting them under our pillow to help us dream. It's actually when we had our crazy dreams.
Yeah.
Is when these were under our pillows. So.
And, you know, in proper, I guess, it makes sense to me, but what I believe and what I feel about the crystals and so on is that they are also sovereign beings, divine sovereign beings.
Divine sovereign beings.
And we want to give these beings the opportunity to travel the world, to be healing, to be on your altar, to be on your neck, to offer the energy that's unique and the vibration that's unique to Sedona for people who may not be able to travel here right away.
Yep.
And for people who feel a connection here, and you probably, most people do, because it is just like Mount Shasta as an example. People feel a really strong connection with that spot. Or the pyramids in Egypt and so on, but we may never, you know, or it's thousands of dollars to go visit such a place, but we want to be able to give this energy, and we feel like we've been gifted, because again, they're very rare, they're hard to find. We were told, and we tried to find them before, and now all of a sudden
there's literally not
them.
There's no Sedona fulgurite online right now. Like,
no,
I can't find a single website selling them, so we got really lucky.
Yeah, we feel really lucky, and we want to be responsible with, you know, giving these beings in a way a place to go and adventure around the world and spread and this love and the energy and the grid of Sedona to respectful altars and people in our community as a gift, and, you know, sharing this abundance with other people, and we feel very abundant in Folga right now.
And we actually did that with people and when we were in the van. Doing it, yeah. Our friend who gave us this large piece also like a year ago had gifted us like a bunch of small pieces too. He gave them to us to sell so that we could make some abundance while we were on the road. But we ended up, I don't think we sold a single one. We gave them all away.
We traded them.
We traded some of them, but most of them were like just gifts because we felt like people needed them and people loved them and they are so unique.
We love talking about them.
I'm going to show you some pictures actually. Last night I was playing around.
Show you their size and
I just realized that when I clicked over to the other thing that I didn't set up the sound on that one, so I don't, as soon as I clicked over your audio went out.
Okay, so I guess we'll just clip over to the slideshow and you can briefly look at them, but we want to show you, we're trying to figure out a way to make this a streamlined process, and with the internet it's kind of nice. We're designing a new website. We also have our Facebook and Instagram, which I think we'll utilize as well to like display the pieces we find and maybe the pieces we make in the future.
Yeah.
So here's some examples of who is wanting to go home with whoever is out there and is resonating with this.
If any of these pieces call out to you, just shoot us a message and you can get them before we post them online, because they're probably going to go pretty quick, because that's what I've seen happen. Every time Fulgurite is on Etsy or eBay, people get it pretty quick. All the gem collectors love them. So
it's true.
Take a look at what we got. Well, I thought I had more than two pictures loaded up, but it looks like it's only displaying two.
Two beings. All right. It's meant to be.
I might be able to fix that real quick.
Okay. Well, these are exactly. So you can see that those pieces are around 2 to 3 inches long, and they can be made into pendants and so on. So maybe our friend at Cinnamon Dream Studio may want to make some and recreate some jewelry with it, with their skill and their knowledge of doing such craft. And yeah, we're just trying to make it, we're trying to give it around, we're trying to spread it out, and in return, we hope to continue enjoying our time here in Sedona and creating events and space. Like Jay said, he wants to start DJing at events, and I want to start doing more teaching about the Schumann resonance and space weather. I want to do more dancing. There's just so many inspiration things, and I've just never personally done an event like this, so we're working on getting that. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I didn't realize I was doing this over on the live. My bad.
Number three is
the screen probably gigantic. Went black for a second. There we go. Let's see. Let's see if we can scroll through this. Oh, well. All right. Well, we'll post them online, and you'll be able to see them on our Facebooks or, you know, wherever you follow us.
Yes.
And, yeah, if you want a piece, just reach out to us. Please. We're do. Also...
And how can they reach out to us? I think the best way... We'll put our email in the description down below.
Yeah. contact@divinesovereignbeings.com. Is that loaded up? Maybe
no,
not.
I don't think that's okay, live
we'll,
yet.
We'll do your Ascension Diaries email.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
AscensionDiaries@gmail.com.
We've also been collecting
There's
crystals.
Lots of crystal-like beings here in Sedona. Crystallizing rock. Darn, that camera really doesn't
There's a
as much color.
There's this really awesome stone, which is unique to Sedona, which is a form of quartz that goes by the name Azestulite. And there's this one guy, I don't know his name, but there's a guy who will buy this from people here. I think he lives in Russia, and he sells them on his website for like a piece like this for like hundreds of dollars, which I think is ridiculous. we're not trying to chip anybody. So
no, we'll give you trying to turn like a exactly. crazy profit, even right. though they are very rare and maybe in someone else's hands,
right.
they would exploit them for lots and lots of money, but we're not, I don't even think we're really programmed to do that, or else we probably,
we just want to spread
we do.
The beautiful abundance that we have been given, and also use that abundance to help support us so that we can keep making stuff like this and being involved with the community and yes. all of you guys.
It's true. We are very much like fairy, elf, earthly beings, and sometimes the whole...
You've been calling me an elf so much lately.
So much. Like, you are such an elf, and, you know...
I'm like, I want to build a tree house in our backyard. I want to get a ladder and build a little chair up in that tree. And she's like, you're such an elf.
Well, I thought it was cute because you did this big intention to bring in more abundance for our family this month. So we don't have to even really stress about the roof over our heads or buying organic food at the grocery store. And we don't eat yeah. much. Like, but still, it gets to that point where we're like, I don't know if we can eat that or whatever. And it's just, I just thought it was sweet because you were so excited. We go for this walk after you've made this intention. We come across this fulgurite that we've been learning about the last year and been giving it out.
Working with
and
it.
Working with it. And then, wow, like it's incredible to find something like that in nature all on its own. And it was, you were like, this is the answer to my prayers. This is, these crystals are going to help us. And this is a gift from the spirit realm and from, you know, the earth. And again, after we had just done gratitude and so on to this, like a cemetery and the land and everything. And it was like really magical moment and exciting. But I'm like, that is such an elf or like a fairy like almost existence where you go out and you're like, yes, this crystal, this is going to be the answer to all my problems. And it's just, I just thought it was endearing and sweet because that's kind of how we are. And we feel very lucky to be with all of these crystals right now. And it's just, you know, it's like back into that childlike state where, you know, you find a really cool rock on the ground and it makes your whole day. And we've really not really evolved out of that or lost that. And we do these hikes and it really feels like we're walking around in a magical place and a magical terrain. And we're constantly finding really cool stuff and crystals and so on, especially in Sedona. So, and it's abundant, like lightning happens.
This is a crystal, not a fulgurite.
Everyone's, yeah.
This is a beautiful one we found recently. So
lightning happens constantly. These crystals are constantly being created, and I really feel like we aren't even...
Actually, there's another thing I want to show the camera. I'm going to go grab it.
Okay. It feels like we're not pillaging the land in the way that sometimes I feel like crystal hunting and mining can be. In a way, I know there's probably... Like I said, the crystals go and they go and heal and they do good work and they get to be around the world and so on and live outside of the cave, which is probably awesome. But it's nice to know that what we're creating and sharing is abundant in its own way in creation.
I've also found these amazing, what I'm calling them lightning stones. They're formed by the same thing, but they're formed when the lightning strike hits the sand, but there's a rock in it. And so the fulgurite will be created, but then at the same time, there will be tiny mini fulgurites on rocks. And you'll get these beautiful lightning tubes, mini fulgurites. And these are all little hollow tubes. And I'm not sure if you can see, but the rock itself is super beautiful too, very sparkly. This one's got a really thick piece of fulgurite on the bottom, which is like... really, really awesome. And pretty rare. This is another good example. So if you would like one of these light, I call them lightning kissed rocks. That's what I've been saying. If you'd like something like that too, just let us know.
Yeah, and even grab the timestamp maybe in the video where we're showing the one piece that you want and email us the timestamp, and then we'll just just discuss what it's going to take to get that piece to you. And we'll just do what we got to do.
We've thought about also sending people jars of red earth. Because when we were traveling, I collected a jar of red earth from Sedona. And I loved it. It was one of my favorite things to have in the van. Because it reminded me of the red earth and the red rocks here. And it was like, it was this little jar of red earth. And it was so beautiful and so powerful.
It's grounding.
Yeah. And yeah, extremely grounding. And it, like, you hold it and it takes you right to Sedona. And you can feel it. You can picture it. So if that's something you would like as well,
email us.
We'll hook you up with that.
And we'll make it happen.
What else?
I think.
Anything else you want to talk about?
I think I'm, you know, those dreams were pretty good. And yeah. Again, the Ormus that we were taking, which is produced by our friends at Pyramana. I'll put that in the description too. I'm pretty sure I've sent some people their way, but we really appreciate all of your help and support, all of the conscious creators who've reached out to us. And we are, you know, we have more space for more people. We want to share. Yeah. We want to embrace this new economy that everyone is kind of channeling and talking about. Like, how is it that we're going to keep trading goods amongst each other, and energetic goods and goods for healing and goods for creating and increasing our sensitivities, increasing our capacity as human beings. And we just support people who are doing that. We want to do it ourselves. And I think it's the funnest economy in a way to participate in. And if we all continue to do that, we're all going to be able to share what we can create with each other. And it's really exciting to be a part of that shift. And it can be nerve-wracking because sometimes my mind goes like, well, that doesn't make sense. Like, how are we going to be able to sustain that? But the earth and the universe is so abundant, and what we value is so, some of us value similar things like food and water. And then a lot of the other stuff we have is totally socially constructed in a lot of ways. So now it's just about sharing things that we know are increasing consciousness and increasing interconnectivity with each other and the land and the universe. And that's more where, that's the party I want to participate in. So
yeah. And they make great gifts. Like, I've always struggled with gift giving and like figuring out what people want, but like giving somebody a sacred item from nature, like a crystal, especially when you found and not when you've, you know, got in a store or made or something, is like so special. And I hope my family's ready, because they're going to be getting a ton of crystals for their birthdays and Christmas and all that kind of stuff. So yeah.
And we're excited for other people who work with crystals a lot to work with these as well and see the properties and the abilities that they've kind of picked up from them also. And that's also a fun part about the crystal game is, like, everybody seems to know that each crystal has their own ability and property and so on. So I'm excited to see what people utilize the fulgurite for. Also, we've been testing it in lots of different ways, and
I've heard that the fulgurites are monoatomic too. I don't know that.
Our friend is testing it right now.
Yeah, he's testing it, or he's trying to. He's getting those people organized to test it.
He says, "Want to test it? Let us know."
So, on some of these pieces of fulgurite, I don't know if I have any right here with me, but on some of the really like rare pieces, there is white, and it's the part where the lightning was the hottest. Usually, it's the core. Some of them, like the whole thing, is the inside of it's white, and you can see it. And the white is what we speculate is the monoatomic part.
Right.
Which monoatomic is, of course, what makes Ormus Ormus. It's what makes crystals crystals. It's what makes nano-coated plasma technology work. The monoatomic nature of physical objects is a very powerful metaphysical tool for energy channeling, healing, contacting, you know, the divine, your higher self. Like, it's that form of material, I think, is what prima matra really is. When people say prima matra, prime matter, like the matter that's closest to the highest vibrational form of creation, is monoatomic. So it's pretty sweet.
It's pretty sweet. And we're glad to share all of that information with you. We trust that you will use that with great respect and kindness as well. We want to protect these beings as well and the energy of this place that we live, but it does a good job of protecting itself. I'm not too worried about it. So they say that people will either land in Sedona or they will be promptly booted right out of there, given what they need and sent on their way. And many, many sacred areas are like that. And so we trust that where these pieces go, they're meant to go.
Here's another really good one. I just love them so much.
And we want to do retreats and have people come out and we can go on walks and search for our own crystals together in Sedona and do dancing and sound healing and so on. So if that interests you, definitely let me know in the comments below. We're going to try and figure out how to make more of those events work.
Yeah.
If you had any suggestions on how that could work and so on, we'd be happy to curate something like that and have a group of the divine sovereign beings come together in Sedona and enjoy some time together. I think that would be really fun. And you can,
I think so too,
grab your own pieces. And if you don't find anything, we'll share pieces with you that we've been able to gather too. So these are the ideas and things that we're trying to create. And we're taking your ideas and the collective consciousness of this podcast, and we're trying to make it happen. I feel like it's already happening. Like, I've had many visions of it happening. So I'm confident that it can. It's just new to me to make these events. And I'm a bit of an introvert too. So it's also kind of makes me a little nervous. But that's okay, because I'm not a total introvert. I definitely can handle myself.
Yes. I think you can too.
Yeah. Well, Paulo can just take care of it.
Well, I think that's probably it then for this episode.
I think it is. And thank you all again so much for being here. Thank you for contacting us about these beings and our projects and anything else that comes across your mind. Thank you for liking and commenting and sharing. Of course, we appreciate all the love we've received about the episodes we've made so far.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody that's reached out to us to tell us what they've thought about the episodes. It's really, really helpful and really helps us keep going and feel confident about what we're doing. So we really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. So without further ado,
we will see you on the next episode.
We will see you on the next episode, everyone.